Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon this morning is victory. Victory. It is about the victory of David, or actually the God of David, on Goliath. Victory. Three thoughts. First of all, the goal. That victory has a particular or a certain goal, a purpose. So, the goal. Second thought, the decision. There in that battle falls a decision. So, the decision. And third, the victor. The victor. So, the theme is victory. Three thoughts. The goal of that victory. Second, the decision that falls in that battle. And third, the victor. The victor. So first, the goal. Last week, we heard David speaking with great assurance of faith. Just listen to his words. Verse 30, 45. Then said David to the Philistine, here's words. Thou comest to me with a sword, a spear, a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David falls short of words to describe who his God is. I come in the name of the Lord, Yahweh, my covenant God, a faithful God, that I am who I am. He's the Lord of hosts. He is a mighty army. He is the God of the armies of Israel. He has a flock here. He is the God of the people you despise, Israel. And in name of that God, I come. And you come only with some poor weapons made from materials that are the work of my God? He gave you that materials. He is the creator of everything, including the materials that these weapons are made of. I come in the name of the Creator. What an assurance of faith to be jealous, right? That is something to be jealous of. Assurance of faith. We hear in Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, that assurance of faith described there in Hebrews 10, we sense, we feel, we hear with David. That assurance of faith is a gift from God. It is not something that we make, something that we do. It is a gift of God. But you know how God works this assurance of faith? Through trials and afflictions, tests. He purifies us. That we lose everything of ourselves and gain Him and His strength. Assurance of faith is a matter of being a student at the school of faith. And David was such a student. Already as a young shepherd boy, the Lord taught him. When he fought with that bear and that lion, the Lord taught him. Not with human strength. David, it's not your effort. When you are weak, I am strong. That's the lesson David learned the hard way in trials and afflictions. And so he came to this assurance of faith. And David is sure, there's no doubt at all, of a victory over this beast. Because that's what Goliath is. He lowered himself to a beast. He's a man without God. He does not show God's image anymore. Not in his words, not in anything. Goliath is no longer a viceroy under God. No, Goliath feels himself as a king. I am Goliath. Nobody can overcome me. I am the mighty and strong Goliath. But that's precisely his weakness. He is without God. It's an empty shell. All his words, his attitude, it's empty. He will collapse. Just one blow from God, he will collapse. It's nothing. Well, David speaks about that collapse and what will happen prophetically, right? And see him, the youngest, the katan, the smallest, a shepherd's boy, too young to serve in the army. And there he faces that mighty opponent, Goliath, and then hear his words. Verse 46. This day, Goliath, it will happen now. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Again, that assurance of faith. Something to be jealous of. Let's continue to read. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beast of the earth. Amazing. At this day. In the Old Testament, you read often about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day that the Lord comes with his righteousness and delivers his people. So many days in the Old Testament were the day of the Lord. The day that the Lord delivered his people and judged the enemies and the opponents of his people. It always goes together, right? God's deliverance and his judgment, his wrath poured out. Also, on this day, the day of the Lord, this day, there is a greater day of the Lord. The day that Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross and cried out, "It is finished." The great victor cried out, "Tetelestai." That was the day of the Lord. But there will be another day of the Lord. The day that he, the victor, Jesus Christ, will return on earth, on the clouds of heaven, and will judge the living and the dead. Well, here in 1 Samuel 17 is also a day of the Lord. And what will happen on that day to Goliath and to each one present there will depend if there is faith and repentance or not. Or not. Oh, let us hear the great prophet, because David is a prophet here, right? Moments here, before he will strike Goliath, he prophesies, "Goliath, I will smite you and kill you. But there is a greater prophet, Jesus Christ." And let us hear his words. of that greatest prophet who is also king and priest. And hear his words of that greatest prophet. Father, forgive them, all these sinners, for they do not know what they do. And he cried out, it is finished. Let us hear to the words of that greatest prophet. Well, but let's continue listening to David. He is not done yet. So first, Goliath, you come with, but I come with the Lord. And then he spoke prophetically about the fate of Goliath. David will kill him. But then we hear the purpose of all of this. Verse 46b, that all the earth, underline all the earth. And we feel and we sense that what happens here at this day surpasses this day. This is not only limited to the valley of Elah. It's not only limited to the people of Israel and the Philistines. No, it surpasses that by far. Because everything that happens here is an image of the victory of the great son of David, Jesus Christ. It surpasses it by far. All of this is prophetic. So we read again, 46b, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God wants to reach all people, including these Philistines, including them. There they are, the opponents of God's people, the opponents and the enemies of God. And yet, God reaches out to them that all may know, including the Philistines, these pagan people, that all may know that I am God. And that they turn from idol worshippers into worshippers of the true God. And David is the instrument in God's hand to come to that point, to come to repentance and faith, as Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the instrument in God's hand that we turn in repentance and faith to him, that we may know there is one God and no other God. You know, God has just one purpose with time and history. Everything goes according to his counsel, and that purpose is a new heaven and a new earth, populated by people who embraced Christ, the great son of David, who followed him, who abide in him. That's his purpose. An earth and heaven and earth that will be inhabited in righteousness. And now we live in the time of grace. On this side of death, we live in the time of grace. But the decision where we will be, on the new heaven and earth or not, falls in this life, in the time of grace. And it all hinges on that repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And see that even the actions of the evil one, Satan, and his henchmen like Goliath are used by God. He even turns these evil events, and that something good will come out of it. That all may know that I am God, Yet Satan is at work there. Goliath, as a handsman from him, is at work there. But God will turn that evil, that something good will come out of it. But please note, one day, all the earth and all who live and have lived on this earth will recognize, there is no exception, everyone that lives or has lived on this earth will one day, without any exception, each one of us, recognize the greatness of Israel's God and the greatness of the great Son of God, the great Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. The day is coming that each one of us and everyone that has lived or still lives will cry out. And there is a twofold cry on that day. It is a tear of joy and gladness seeing your Savior because you embraced him in this life as your Savior. Or there is a cry of remorse, pain, sorrow. Philippians 2. The time will come, Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, no exception, should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But there is a twofold confession. The word used here, right? That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord just means, it's a general word of confession or to declare openly, to acknowledge openly. But there is again a twofold acknowledgement. There are who raged against Christ, the proud people. And there are the humble and the needy that embraced Christ. But they all will on that day acknowledge Christ as Lord. And no mistake, dear congregation, that day comes with haste. That day is near. Well, but David is still not done with his speech. By the way, do you recognize that he is a kind of a preacher here? And that he comes with the gospel news here. He is a gospel preacher here. He is. And even Goliath, that mighty opponent of God and the people of God, hears here the gospel. But let's continue to read. Verse 47. And all this assembly. Hey, that's remarkable. First David addressed everybody, right? He said that all the earth may know that there is one God, all the earth. But now he addresses specifically the covenant people, the people of Israel. Verse 47, let's read it. All this assembly, the people of Israel, shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The covenant people of Israel, hear God's voice through David. And here David tells them and warns them, turn to the Lord. You will see his mighty acts today. But it all comes down to your response on his mighty acts. That day, the people of Israel will see that God is a redeeming God, a saving God. And remember that all were without the Spirit there, right? Because every day they cheered and they fled. They were all afraid to battle against their enemies and the enemies of God. So afraid to even begin to commence that battle. They were all without faith. And when there was faith, it was small and weak faith. And here David tells them, to these weak, spiritless people, that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, but not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands. The people of Israel here are incited to live by faith. Covenant people of Israel were so worldly minded and not spiritually minded at all. They were so focused on the here and now. And even in this battle, which is a spiritual battle, they rely on their own strength and their own weapons. Oh, let us take that lesson seriously, because God shows Israel through David that he is the one who saves, that he is the one who redeems, and that he is the one who blesses. How much more shows God this through the great Son of David, Jesus the Christ, that he is the one who saves completely, redeems, and blesses. And please pay attention to that word, no, right? That word, no, to know. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And later, verse 47, the words to the people of Israel, that all this assembly shall know. And you know by now that this no, this Old Testamentic no, is not just a knowledge with our mind, a rational knowledge. No. It is an experiential knowledge. It is the knowledge with our heart, that knowledge. So the great purpose of God here is in and through this battle between David and Goliath, that all the earth and all the covenant people will know, experience personally, that God is a saving and redeeming God. That they all, in other words, will come to faith. Repent, turn to the Lord with remorse, and embrace that great Son of David. That's the purpose of God. The Lord shows here this day, and he showed it on that other day of the Lord that Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross. He shows not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Zechariah 4, verse 6. But a warning is necessary here. Right? These words in verse 47 are addressed to the covenant people, that they shall know that the Lord saves. But a warning is necessary here. We hear the Lord Jesus, the great Son of David, speak to the people of Israel the following words. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. These were the ones addressed in the previous verse, right? That all the earth may know. But let's continue to read, because the Lord now himself, Jesus, addresses the covenant people. It's in Matthew 8. That many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let's not forget, we are the covenant people now, including Israel, that's right, but we are the covenant people. How many times did we hear the gospel? Did we hear the prophetic proclamation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? How many times? How many times did he tell us that he is the Savior and the Redeemer? And that he wants us to know him experiential, to embrace him, to follow him? How many times did we hear that message? It is remarkable that the Lord in his Gospels, in the Gospel, tells the people of Israel, the covenant people, 7 times, the number of fullness, 7 times, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth of many of the covenant people. There is a warning here for us. We can hear the gospel again and again and again. But if there is no response, if we do not come to that experiential knowledge, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth again. 7 times a warning, the number of complete fullness. Well, let's move on to the second thought, the decision. Verse 48. So we have listened to David's words. Let's continue to follow the story. Verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. The first thing to note here, the words were spoken. The gospel was preached. There was a warning, and now it's silent. The time of the prophetic proclamation is over, at least for Goliath. Now the battle will commence. Now the decision will fall. Is there fruit on God's word? Yes or no, spoken through the mouth of David? Is there fruit? It falls silent. The gospel has gone out, and we all know it will run free and it will do what it must do. For some to salvation and for other deliverance. We do not know the response of all these Philistines. We do not know the response of all these individuals among the covenant people of Israel. We do not know, but we do know our response to the preaching of the gospel. That's what we do know. What's our response? And we still hear that prophetic proclamation, but one day also for us, we will not hear it anymore. There will be silence. And then the decision will fall. Actually, the decision has been fallen, of course, before. But then it will come apparently. Everybody will see it. Oh, let us turn to the Lord and abide in him. Follow him. Imitate him. Stay close to him. Well, the Philistine. Let's first look to Goliath. The Philistine. He makes himself up for the battle and goes. You see it before you. Probably he first stepped back and he returned toward the Philistine army camp. And he puts his armor in order, no doubt being inspected by others. And then he moves as that mighty tank, the unconquerable Goliath, in his eyes unconquerable, toward the front. And there the decision will fall. And remember, it is silent in the meantime. Silent. He is full of life, aware of his own strength. He's not afraid at all. But he's taking his last steps. He's almost dead, but unaware of it, full of strength and vigor. He feels like a hero, unconquerable. And he doesn't know that he is almost dead. Almost. And there he faces David. And we know that David is the redeemer, but for Goliath, David is the avenger. Dear congregation, Jesus, the great Son of David, is either our Redeemer or Avenger. One day it will fall silent. The judgment will take place. And then that Jesus, who is the Savior and the Redeemer, might appear to be for us the Avenger. The judge. Well, on the other side, we see David. It's Goliath. And just pay attention to what we read about David. He ran to the battle line. Why? He's a picture of Christ, and Christ is in haste. He has haste to return on the clouds of heaven, and in the meantime, he has haste in proclaiming the gospel, spreading the gospel news across this globe. He ran, David, to the battle line, meeting the Philistine. He has haste. And then the hour of decision is approaching. Oh, we probably all know of these moments that for us seem to be an hour of decision. And probably our heart beats in our throat, right? That's how it feels when we approach an hour of decision. We are tensed and nervous. What will happen on this moment? Well, such a moment is here. Although, both David and Goliath are not tensed at all. They are not nervous at all. Both are calm, one in God's confidence. I have a hero at my side. He will fight for me. I have a mighty king who helps me, the creator of heaven and earth. He is my God. No, he's not tensed at all. The calmness of that complete assurance of faith, he runs toward that mighty Philistine. But that Philistine, he's also calm. He doesn't feel tensed at all. Why? In boundless self-aggrandizement. What can happen to me? Unaware that just a moment later, he will meet the God of Israel, who will appear to be his God. And then the moment of decision approaches. We read verse 49. David put his hand in his bag, that small shepherd's bag, and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. A small stone, almost 1 pound. So not really small, like a small tennis ball. That's the size of the stone here. 5 stones there. He takes one, puts it into the sling. He slings once, twice, and then the stone is released with an enormous speed. It hits the Philistine in his forehead. Exactly. That's God's providence, where he is unprotected. And he falls with a thudding violence. Forward, important. Forward, not backward. But first of all, see how God uses shepherd's tools. That's all. It's in the end the Spirit that is at work here. It is the Lord that saveth, right? We have read that in verse 47. All the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth. It's not David and his smartness. No, it is the Lord. That's the message here. That's the message. But actually, everybody on earth knows that there is a God. Creation is enough, Romans 1 verse 20, to prove the existence of God. And already on the basis of that general revelation, everyone is without excuse. Everyone, let alone here at this moment, everyone that heard God speaking here through the mouth of David and saw God's mighty act through David. Enough. Well, Goliath, that seemingly mighty tree, is felled with just one stone. One word. That's all. That's all. A simple act, straight from God's hand, from God's mouth, from God's heart. And notice, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Beloved, the decision falls here. Don't wait. It falls now. Now. Is Christ our Redeemer or our Avenger? The decision falls here. It's all about that knowledge, experiential knowledge, fellowship with Christ, embracing Him as a sinner, finding all your strength and all you need in Him. The decision falls now. In this life. But notice that Goliath falls his faith upon the earth forward. Why is this important? Why doesn't he fall backwards, right? That's what we would expect. He is hit by stone in his forehead, so you would expect him to fall backwards. No, he falls forward. Forward. Why? As in worship before the one true God of Israel. In his death, he gives a clear testimony of the greatness of the God of Israel and his anointed one. In his death, that enemy of God bows before God. But too late. Too late. Just like Dagon, right? The idol of the Philistines. You probably remember that story of 1 Samuel 5. The Philistines beat Israel. They take the ark. And the ark is then put in the temple of Dagon in Ashdod. What happens there? Dagon falls twice. How? Forward. Before the Lord, as if in worship, bowing down that idol before the one true God, Dagon falls forward. And the second time, even his head and hands are cut off, powerless. Well, as the idol of the Philistines is powerless, the Philistines themselves are powerless. You know, only that man is powerful in life that lost all his power here. That man is powerful that is powerless in himself. That man is powerful that confesses his sin and guilt and that gives his whole life to Christ. And unconditionally in God's hand and trust him whatever happens. That man is powerful, powerful in God. It is God powerful in and through him because he lost everything of himself. What's the lesson here? Goliath falls forward. Please, fall forward on your faces in this life. Don't wait. When you fall forward on the moment of your death, it is too late. Fall forward now. Bow deep in mourning, in repentance, in remorse. Confess your sin and guilt. Psalm 86. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all that call unto him. Well, before we end this sermon with the last thought, let us sing Psalter 128, Psalter 128, and we'll sing the first and last stanza. That's Psalm 46, Psalter 128, stanza 1 and 3. The victor, the third thought, the victor. Let's continue with verse 51. Let's read it, verse 51. Therefore, David ran, stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. Do you see what is happening here? David falls and is killed by his own sword. We will be once judged by our own instruments, the instruments that we wield in everyday life. We will be judged by them. We will be judged according to our thoughts, our words, our deeds. So Goliath's life is taken by his own sword. That sword that he wielded, it was his main instrument. And there he testifies against him. James 1. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's the life of Goliath. He lived out of and for his lust. He gave in to these lusts. And they conceived and brought forth sin. And now it is finished. And what remains is death. He who walks in the way of sin will die in his own sin. And it will testify against us eternally. Remember that sevenfold, gnashing of teeth. Remember how we heard it, right? Sevenfold that on that day we will regret what we have done. Sevenfold. We will regret it eternally. You read in Revelation 22. Behold, I come quickly. The Lord runs. For as it might seem to take so long, but he comes with haste, he runs. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. What is our work? Which instruments did we wield? But if our work is so important, what is the work that the Lord God is waiting for? What works should we work? John 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, everyone saw David there. We all have seen in words the great Son of David. That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, that's the work the Lord is waiting for. Because the Lord continues, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Goliath, he perishes in his sins, through his sins. And David cuts off his head with his own sword. What a poignant death. Let's turn to the Philistines. They see their mighty one fall, and they are devastated. Of course, all their hope was in their idol Dagon. And in the mighty hero Goliath. They saw Goliath as a gift of their idol Dagon. And here he fell. It is without hope for them. The one that on whom they trusted is now powerless. And the God of Israel turned out to be the one living true God. And their idol turned out to be power. Powerless. And the Philistines, what do? They flee. What else can you do? When you face the Redeemer, who is then your Avenger, just flee. On that great day of judgment, you know, you can't flee anymore. And it's too late. Luke 23, then they shall begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Oh, if I only had. Impossible to flee from the sword of the Avenger. But now look to the people of Israel. The men of Israel and Judah, they take courage. They see their Redeemer. And they rejoice. Verse 52. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. For 40 days, they shouted every morning. But it was an empty shouting, in vain. 40 days, their shouting in that empty rejoicing was in vain, and it turned against them, and they fled. 40 days, it was the same pattern. They shouted, they cheered, they saw and heard Goliath, and they fled. But now, through David, there is salvation. There is salvation. But what is their response? We don't read anything about their personal response. Why not? Because it is about our personal response. Don't bother too much about the one next to you. No, bother about yourself. And be a witness of Christ. That's the most important thing. But you know what the purpose was of the Lord, of this redeeming and saving action? We have read it in verse 47. That all this assembly shall know, experiential, that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Is there faith with us? Is there faith with us? Well, then the men of Israel and Judah, they pursue the Philistines as far as their own cities. And the Philistines were driven out and scattered and defeated. And the Israelites, they returned to the Philistine camp and they plundered. A rich booty falls into their hands. A rich booty as a gift from God. They did nothing and yet they received a mighty booty. Because of David, because of God's work through David. Oh, there is such a rich booty in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer. Such a rich beauty. Can I name a few of the things there in his beauty? That is freely available. Forgiveness of sins. He cleanses you in his blood from all your sins. All. There is his perfect righteousness imputed on you. Although there is so much iniquity. And there is still that struggle with your flesh. Yet, righteous in Christ. What a beauty. Because Christ is the victor. He is the winner. He fought a battle. And the booty is there just for free. What beauty? Booty? The adoption as children. Because when you embrace Christ in faith and you receive his righteousness as your righteousness, there is a right relationship with God. And you are accepted as his child again. A child of a heavenly father. What a glorious booty that is. Amazing. There's even more. There's eternal life. Life that never perisheth. that is everlasting, that is of the highest quality, life of peace, because you are in Christ, with Christ. That's all available in God's heavenly storehouses. For everyone that embraces Christ as the victor, the redeemer. Well, let's continue to read, and now the last four verses, verses 55 through 58. It's a remarkable conclusion of the chapter. We are taken a little bit back in time. We are taken back in time with verses 55 through 58. Namely, to the moment when Saul, the king, sees David running fearlessly toward Goliath. We are taken back to that point in time. And Saul sees David running toward that giant. And then he asks, verse 55, Abner, whose son is this youth? It may sound as a strange question. Well, it isn't. David was employed at court as a musician, as an armor bearer. But apparently, that's clear from him. Saul never really took a true interest in David himself. He was just somebody else who brought him some relaxation with his music, and that's it. He never really took notice of David. And here, when he sees that young man David running, he must know who it is. Why? Well, he promised to give the conqueror of Goliath exemption from taxation. So he must know who it is. So therefore, he asks Abner, whose son is this youth? But what a beautiful question it is. Whose son is this? Jesus. Whose son is he? Who is this Jesus, the Redeemer and the Savior? Who is he? Who is he? Oh, that we take this question with us, and that we take the time today to ponder about Jesus Christ, the great son of David, the victor. Who is he? And answer it personally. Who is he? Just meditate upon him. Whose son is he? He's the son of the living God. How is it that I see him running? Through his word and the Holy Spirit. What is it that he does? He redeems and saves. He conquers my enemies. He takes away my sin and my guilt. He is my king, priest, and prophet. He is my all. Who is this Katan? The smallest. Dear congregation, take that question with you. Who is the smallest? He is the Savior. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. What a gift is thy word. We know, Lord, that thy spirit is present because thou promised where two or three are present in my name, there I will be. Oh, Lord, work with thy spirit mightily among us. That we all come to that knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Savior. But that knowledge may increase. That we may follow him. That we may imitate him. That we may abide in him. That we might see all the blessings and the benefits that are there for us in him, stored in these heavenly warehouses. that the doors of these heavenly warehouses and storehouses are opened by faith. It's grace alone. Lord, thou art such a wonder-doing God. The battle is thine battle. But also thou art the winner, the overcomer, the conqueror. O Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We ask thee to be the after preacher. And we ask thee to bring us again here later today. Lord, forgive our sins. As we come before thee, as poor and needy people, hear our prayer in the name of thy Son. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 200. Psalter 200, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4. That's Psalm 72, Psalter 200, stanzas 1 and 4, and there will be a collection during the prelude.
Thank you.
Well, lift now up your heart to God and receive his blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.